Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Couture. Hey, I had to pause there for a second because I thought you were going to add something to the end of that song.
Oh, no. I just barely got it done. That's why I started it right in the middle of the other open.
Oh, okay. Now we got another co-host on the line. Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Oh, not much. How are you guys doing tonight?
Not too much. I know you were just jabbing out. You're rocking your head back and forth, fists in the air, jabbing out to that song right there.
Yeah, you got me. I could have done without that.
Well, I know I was marking out for it. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest, the most underrated album in the history of mankind, is that WWE album where they made all the stupid videos for. I mean, what's on that album, Couture? I mean, just off the top of your head.
Demolition, Power Driver.
Will be where they Power Driver. This one, don't they got Rick Derringer? Like, or no, Mean Gene. Mean Gene is doing Rick Derringer.
Well, that was the first one.
Yeah.
You remember they had two?
Oh, yeah, that was the first one, yeah.
Mean Gene did, like, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
Yeah, he did Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
I've got the first one on cassette tape. Actually,
I love the commentary between the songs.
I love, they have Nikolai Volkov doing the Russian national anthem there at the end, and I think it's Jesse talking about how he's got such an incredibly beautiful voice. And you know what? He actually did have a great voice.
He did. He sang a song. He sang "Care of Me," and. He has an awesome voice.
Yeah. And nobody ever heard it because, you couldn't hear it over the boos of the U.S. fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually had a great voice.
Speaking of voice, man, it sounds like you're trying to have phone sex with us right now, right?
Well, I've got two things working against me. Number one, I'm at my parents' house. I'm babysitting my grandfather for the evening so my parents could get out of the house. So I'm on a different phone. And I'm kind of stoned right now, I'll be honest with you. I had a root canal done today. So I kind of feel a little bit out of it. So if you're playing the Craig drinking game tonight, buckle up.
Craig, it's very unprofessional for you to be high right now on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that into consideration there. I apologize for being high on Percocet. At least I didn't smoke them out of a ball. On cue again. Yep.
Well, anyway, this week on the show is, I guess, in honor of the big race this weekend, which I'm sure... Well, the chair might be watching it. He is a redneck. The Indianapolis 500, somebody had the idea. In fact, I think it was the same guy that came up with the football topic to talk about different car angles. But at first, I was like, man, that's kind of stupid. But then when I thought about it, I kept thinking of different shit. And I was like, this might actually work. So,
And then when he consulted his buddy Craig and we started talking about all the different things that happened in vehicles, with wrestling in general, there's a ton of stuff involving vehicles with four wheels or tracks or possibly dump trucks. There might even be a steamroller in there, too. I'm not 100%.
There's probably multiple steamrollers involved. But, I think it's like I just remember, like, right off the top of my head, I just, like, images just popped in my head, just like, bam, bam, bam. You know, just the visual while remembering the shit that happened on TV. And, yeah, there is a lot of different stuff. And some of it's some of the wackiest shit. And it's like when you're dealing with a vehicle and you're on live TV, shit can go wrong. You know? So... Couture made a list, so I'll go ahead and let Couture start off naming one.
Well, let's start with cars going wrong. How about Goldberg chases after The Rock, but his Mustang won't start?
That's right.
You guys remember this?
Yeah, I remember he ran after The Rock. The Rock took off. Goldberg got in the car. He turned the key. It didn't, like, I don't even know if you can hear the starter or whatever. He tried a couple times, it didn't start. He ended up getting out of the car, and he took off running after The Rock like he was going to catch him like 5 minutes later after his head start.
Yeah. You know,
somebody
Goldberg
was fucking with him right there. I think somebody took some spark plugs out or something. I don't know.
I blame Triple H. You know, Goldberg's had a couple of run-ins with cars. Didn't he cut up his forearm really bad, punching out a window one time as well?
Yeah. He was, I think, late 99 or very early 2000, he was chasing the NWO backstage, and they had jumped in the limo, and he was supposed to have, like, a pipe in his hand to bust his window open, but he did not have the pipe, so he decided he's going to put his fist through the window.
Good plan.
So he tries a couple of times, finally gets his fist through the window, he jerks his fist out, his forearm was, like, slashed out of hell. There's blood everywhere. I think he almost lost his arm because of it. I blame Goldberg more than the company, actually. Goldberg didn't have to punch through that fucking window.
You know, I mean, it's funny. Like, he shot on the car, and the car shot back on him and fucking won.
He got him.
I mean, that's just, I mean, I can kind of understand why he would do it. You know, I mean, deciding, you know, okay, it's, you know, what's going to happen? I'm going to punch out this window. I'm a big, bad dude. And, you know, you kind of forget that it's glass, and broken glass is sharp, and it's going to cut you no matter what, and it's real glass at that. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have punched it with my hand. I would have thought about it, but I wouldn't have done it. But, I mean, I can kind of see where
kick,
he did it.
Kick the window in with my foot. I tried to do that, maybe. Wouldn't have done with my hand.
Yeah, that was not very well thought out.
I think it was that action for like 6 months after that.
Sounds right.
Isn't that like right at the down, like right where the tide started turning to? Like a little
what
bit after that. Like, you know, the didn't the like the war, didn't the WWE like slowly start to come back at this point?
Oh, WWE come back. This was like I said, late 99, early 2000. WCW was way behind at that point.
Oh,
okay. This is when Vince Russo had just come in, and they were fixing, getting ready to send him home for the first time because all he wrote was shit.
Yeah.
And still does, except now he's doing it from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But but to go back to the first one, I mean, like, because I don't remember hearing the starter when he turned the key. Do you guys remember hearing the starter? You think that maybe Couture's right and they actually did take the spark plugs out of the car just really in an attempt to embarrass the fuck out of him?
I don't know.
There was heat between him and Triple H. They had words at, like, different, like, conventions.
I like to think it was probably I don't know, some of the lower card guys playing a rib or something like that. I know Triple H is wasting time screwing with his car or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but you got to understand that he's had a lot of his friends, even though they weren't young guys, were taking shits in people's purses and sandwiches and, you know, trying to cut off people's molars on airplanes.
Like,
I mean, you know, he could have had some
hurricane.
Dirty work.
Sounds like some shit the Hurricane or somebody like that would do.
I know it was off topic, but I've got a little bit more respect for Hurricane now that he was on Brian's show last week. I thought he sounded pretty intelligent for sounding like a hick.
He sounded better than one of those videos, YouTube things that I saw of him in, like,
mm-hmm.
that Truth Champagne or something.
And he wasn't defending drunk driving by saying, you know, sober people have accidents, too. Why don't we talk about them?
Anyway.
Well, you should try and get him because they didn't say anything about, basically, his run into WWE. It was all, like, after and pre-shit, you know? We can embarrass Brian and Dave again by doing a better interview than them, like we always do.
I will. I'll shoot him in a PM. I swear to God, I contacted like 12 guys this week, and I heard back from one. And like Ed said, I'm not name dropping because it's going horribly.
Yeah,
the second
we left our one.
Yeah. Anyway. I just thought of something that's not on Couture's list, and it was an epic fail. It was that. There was that brawl they had in the junkyard on WCW.
Oh, in the Battle Royal? The Hardcore Battle Royal?
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a Battle Royal because it was in a junkyard. But, a lot of guys got messed up on that. And the production was so horrible that a lot of the really cool stuff and stuff where people actually got hurt didn't get seen by the public because the cameras just missed everything. I think Finley is still hurt because of that. A bunch of luchadors, you know, landing on the roofs of cars and just a horrible, horrible mess.
And wait, is that kind of
now, were they at a real junkyard or was this like some big-ass contraption thing that they made because it looked pretty like...
Yeah, I'm sure it was all
staged. It looked pretty convenient in a lot of ways. From what I remember.
I don't know, it was
probably real
because WCW wouldn't want to make anything fake to maybe, you know, like, protect their guys. So they probably just paid off a junkyard or something. It's funny that you mentioned this one because it's like on Monday in that Battle Royal we had, like, another junkyard match with all the guys getting hurt.
Yeah, about the same results and less guys and more top guys to boot.
Yeah,
you know,
I just remember, like, shit was breaking left and right. I mean, you know, it's like the same thing, you know, you're working with glass, you're working with fucking shredded metal, you know.
Yep.
Not the safest thing in the world, you know.
Whose idea was to put fucking luchadors in a junkyard,
they had
to
all get tetanus shots, I bet, after the match.
Whose idea was it to put luchadors in a junkyard match?
I would imagine it was Russo and the other feller. What the heck is it?
Russo wasn't there.
Okay, my bad. It's hard to say. I mean, they did a lot of dumb stuff, and, well, that was another one of them.
Yeah, this is a terrible period. Shows were horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thinking back, they're awesome. But we got a caller, actually, on the line, so I'll go ahead and take a caller here. Caller from area code 843. Who's this?
Hey, Scott Angel from the board. I actually just...
What's up, Scott?
Not too much. What's up with you guys?
Hanging and banging.
Just hanging out and doing the show. What's going on, man?
Well, I've just kind of refound your archive after losing it for a while, and I decided to call in because I like the show topic. And I only like two of the angles, and I tuned in about 5 minutes late. But have you guys talked about Lawler and Eddie Gilbert, which, to my knowledge, is the first hit-by-a-car angle they did in Memphis? Was that like 83, 84, something like that?
I think that was 1990.
Was it? Really?
Yeah.
I was in high school, and that's about right, around 90. So, yeah, it was around
that
time.
I thought it was later than that. I like that because it was slow played, in that when it was done, the reaction seemed more genuine. What I don't like about the majority of the, you know, wheel and deal car truck angles is the announcers are so over the top with it that it kind of takes away from the, oh, my God, somebody just got hit by a car type of, you know what I mean? Like, there was a certain realism. Of course, that was Lance Russell at his best, obviously, but certain realism to, like, did he really get hit? The other notable one, which I'm sure you guys will discuss at some point in the show, is the backlot brawl Piper Goldust, where it actually looked like Piper might have legitimately gotten clipped.
that was a heck of a brawl on that WrestleMania show. That was, man, that was a good.
That was probably the best.
That
was only made to WrestleMania. Like, took place throughout the whole 3-hour show, right? Started at the second match and ended before the main event.
Something like that.
I mean, it was.
They had the OG footage playing during some of the matches. They were doing the chase through Los Angeles or something like that.
Yeah, right.
The only part that was.
Roddy Piper's like last really, really great match, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was awesome. I mean, he beat the shit out of Dustin in that.
There was only one flaw in that, and that's when they disrobed Gold Dust and he was wearing women's lingerie.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Piper grabbed him by the balls.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
But the car chase was awesome. I mean, that was so, when they cut away to it and stuff, I mean, that was fucking great.
Mm-hmm. I think Lawler's, Vince McMahon said, I think we've seen this footage before.
That's right. good stuff. Was that Mania 2000?
That was 96.
96 with the Iron Man match with Bret Shawn.
Okay. Heck of a match, though.
Cool. And you got anything else, Scott?
No, I mean, that's just what I wanted to call in, because I know the rest of them you're going to talk about, while they may have been fantastic to look at, I just like those two because at the time, even the Piper thing, like, you actually, I remember watching the tape the next day, and I went back and I went, huh, how did they do this without him getting killed? And when you hear Piper tell, I think maybe a shoot interview or an audio interview, he did where he talked about, like, it was a split-second decision that was probably not the best of decisions for him to have made, but he did it just because. And so it's kind of like one of those things where the realism that comes with those split-second decisions, like with the Lawler and the Piper thing, is something you really don't see today. Most of the car angles and such now are just so over the top, and they're oversold by the announce team, that it kind of leaves you with, like, you know, it's unfortunate, because I think to go to that extent and then have it be oversold from an announce standpoint is unfortunate.
Well, I don't know if Piper actually got hurt in that match or if he got clipped or not, but he does have a fake hip, so you do the math on that.
Yeah, and I believe, if I remember right, he had the surgery for that hip just a few short months after the, you know, after that, because I think, didn't
yeah, because
they
were making a big deal about the hip when he went to WCW to play Hogan that
right.
first time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was the same year, like 6 months later, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, also, Piper had been in a bunch of movies. Maybe he had done some stunts and maybe knew how to do it right or something. I don't know.
Something like that.
That
yeah.
Well, have seen a, and they live is awesome.
Have a good show, fellas. I wanted to call in and show support. I'm actually enjoying the archive and encourage anybody who hasn't listened to the archive to do so.
Okay, what things are you talking about the one on the Trish page or my old page?
I'm talking about whatever's on the over the top on Blog Talk Radio. That's
okay,
how I found
there's
it.
Even there's even more shows on blogtalkradio.com. / Edward-Laredo. Laredo's L-O-R-E-D-O. And there's a lot more shows on that page, too.
Oh, all right. Well, when I get through the archive on this page, I'll go over there then.
I will
apologize
now.
Close to 200, so you'll have plenty to listen to. Yeah. So, yeah, man, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And we'll talk a little more about the angle that you brought up here in a minute or so.
All right. Take
thanks,
care.
Thanks, Scott.
Cool, man. Take it easy.
All right.
Now, he brought up the Jerry Lawler angle,
yeah.
And that is famous for being one of the most, probably like the first one that got like publicity as far as I know. I'm sure there was fucking a lot of shit before them, you know, everything's been done before, but I just remember like the aftermags, they were outraged, you know, and how disgusting it was, and To tell the story about what actually happened is Jerry Lawler was shooting with Eddie Gilbert at the time, and they just got into this, they're just constantly shooting, and one time it ended up being, I think, like, Eddie was beating, like, up one of the promoters, or he was beating up, like, an official
Eddie
or something.
Eddie and his brother Doug got fired by Eddie Marlin. He was throwing
yeah,
them
that's
out.
Right.
And
yeah,
he followed them out to the parking lot. And then they started beating up Eddie Marlin, and that's when Lawler came out.
Yeah, and then they got in the car, and they basically ran over Jerry Lawler. Lawler rolled over the hood and hit the windshield and bounced off.
He did a hell of a stuntman bump.
Yeah, he did.
Well, what happened was, is like, they, you know, they had this all planned, and but they needed a car, you know, so they borrowed Brian Lee's car. What actually wasn't Brian Lee's. It was Brian Lee's girlfriend's car.
Oops.
And he let them do it, and like the whole time he's like, you know, there's not gonna be a scratch, or you know, please don't fuck it up, you know. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. They never driven this car; they didn't know how the gas pedal was. So, you know, some cars have a little looser gas pedal. So they went and they pushed the gas pedal, and the car just fucking took off, hit Lawler. Yeah. Lawler's fucking ass was right hitting the windshield. I mean. You know, you see Eddie and Doug kind of, like, go up a little bit, and then you see him, like, pause, and then you see him take off. And when they pause, Eddie was like, so Doug is like, do you think he's okay? And Doug is, I think you killed him. Get out of here.
I think so the police station's, like, right across the street or something.
Yeah, they went around the neighborhood, and they, like, parked the car somewhere, and then they went back. And then people, and the show was, I guess it was live because people were
yeah,
calling
they
police.
Did the Memphis show live every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so dozens of people were calling the police that Jerry Lawler had been run over on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So the cops came, and when Eddie Gilbert even dropped off the car, like when they dropped it, it was like a kind of like a car wash or whatever, the lady, the attendant there was watching the wrestling on the thing. And it was, oh my God, you ran over Jerry Lawler. So, I think they got Eddie out of there, but they should have, he would say he regretted it, that they should have let him arrest him, and they should have, like, had it all, you know, cut it all on camera, and that would have been awesome.
I remember one time, this is with the live TV, I remember one time, I think it was, you remember Billy Joe Travis?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I remember Billy Joe Travis.
I think he had done something, and the police showed up at the studios to arrest him. I mean, and really arrest him for something he had done. And so I think they talked him into just did the arrest live on the air so we can make an angle out of it or something, so they really arrested the guy like live on TV.
Awesome.
I thought that was awesome.
I kind of remember hearing it. I don't think I was like watching it at that time, but
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the Lawler one was good. What did you think of the Lawler one, Craig, or did you ever even see it?
I saw clips of it, and I actually went back and watched it on YouTube just this past week. And, you know, the funny thing is Jerry Lawler's backside could have very easily gotten stuck in that windshield, and then it would have went all awry. Mm. Because, you know, the bump that he took, you know, he kind of jumps up, and then the hood of the car actually kind of clips his calves, and he ends up on the windshield. And me and my sadistic mind, you know, just thought about his backside crashing through the windshield and into the car. And, you know, you can't really turn on the windshield wipers to get Jerry Lawler off the windshield after. So, but anyway, yeah, it's pretty tremendous. It's a really great angle. It's, you know, it's really epic. It's way up there with, like, one of the best.
One of the ones that I remember from, this was like somebody being hit by a car or anything, it was from World Class, and I think Ed will remember this. It was like at one of those Cotton Bowl shows. Didn't they have like some kind of a big 10-man tag team match, and the winners got like a Cadillac or something?
Yeah, it was like, it was like a 12-man, I think, because it was the Freebirds and the Von Erichs.
Yeah, and I think it was Freebirds, Von Erichs, I think, Chris Adams and Gino and maybe Jake the Snake, and I think Dr. Death was in there and was involved in the match, and I think Kevin won the match, and so
yeah.
Gino goes Gino crazy, and he grabs the chain and hauls like ass over to the hauls ass to the Cadillac and smashes the windshield with the chain. Cadillac Kevin just won.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was from World Class, was still doing pretty good. That and when it was the Von Erichs feeding with the dynamic duel. That was, I guess, the last really great hurrah. But, yeah, I remember that. I mean, it was awesome. And I remember, I think, maybe even Rip Oliver was even in that match.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and I think Dr. Death took, like, Ric Flair's place because he was supposed to be in it, too. But, you remember, Kevin, like, beat the shit out of him in their match. And I think that's why he wasn't in the match. That's what the story was.
Going back to, kind of epic fails with vehicles, one of the ones that we can't miss on an epic fail because it looked so incredibly cheesy, DX got their bus blowed up, and it was visually one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. there was a crane holding a beam, and the beam looked to be approximately 300 pounds. And it crashed on top of their bus, and it wasn't even close to the size of said bus, and it was nowhere near the engine when it fell. It didn't, you know, fall into the gas tank. I'm pretty sure there wasn't C4 explosives attached to it. But it just kind of bounced off the very top of the tour bus, and then the thing blew up, and it was the most ridiculous thing I've seen.
It blew up from the inside. It blew
yes.
up from the inside.
Yeah, apparently somebody left the stove on in there, and somebody was smoking nearby. I don't know what, but anyway, yeah, it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, you could tell when they dropped it on top of there that right when it hit that somebody had, like, some kind of remote control that set off, like, a
right.
charge side of it.
Yeah. And there was a little
like
delay.
When I think one of those matches with Mick Foley when he was Mankind, when he hit, like, some like, stereo speakers and they exploded into sparks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a match with The Rock, dude.
Yeah, that was a Royal Rumble match.
He dumped and landed on top of them, and then they short-circuited it.
Yeah.
Like a big speaker set, but yeah, this was one of the worst vehicle angles in a long, long time. And honestly, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was like fucking like a nuclear explosion, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
when that thing hit. I don't know. I thought I laughed my ass off when I watched it. But yeah, it was pretty. on the unbelievable side of both of the car angles, we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, that was bad. One of the other ones that was, it wasn't bad, but it was so ridiculous that it was funny, was Big Show surfing on his father's casket.
Yeah.
Through the cemetery. That was comical for all the wrong reasons as well.
First off, he had the big boss. This was the angle where the Big Show's dad had cancer and died.
Right.
So they were at the funeral. And the big boss man, he shows up in, like, the Blues Brothers car, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And he's got, like, a sound system, and he's calling Big Show. He said, you're just a bastard child, and your daddy's dead, and all this over-the-top shit that you couldn't help but laugh at.
Right.
So he hits Big Show with something, and then he chains his father's casket to the car, and he starts to take off, and Big Show jumps on and screaming, "Daddy, Daddy!" And just like he's going through this cemetery, and he's just like body surfing this casket. It's like the most absurd, funniest thing I've ever seen.
If you think that is funny, I saw this thing. I think I told the story before, but. Like, when I very first got on the internet, one of the first, like, columns I read, I don't even remember what the guy's name, he put a link to this, like, little movie somebody posted, like, on a website, and it was called Stranger Than Pulp Fiction. And basically what this guy did is he took scenes from Pulp Fiction, and he spliced in, like, the faces of, like, different people from wrestling onto the characters from Pulp Fiction, and he spliced scenes from Pulp Fiction with the scenes from wrestling. So when you have the veteran guy telling the kid that he brought the guy's watch, you know, they show that scene and then they show the boss man, you know, smashing the watch and shit like that. Anyway, mm-hmm. So then they show the scene when he goes and he grabs the casket and he changes the casket and starts driving around. Well, in this little movie, they start playing the fucking Dukes of Hazzard theme song. So not only do you get everything's going on, you're watching Big Show fucking coffin surf to the good old boys. I mean, it's fucking. Yeah. I mean, if you think it's funny that way, this movie was like made it 10 times funnier. But unfortunately, I have no idea what happened to this movie's website or anything. And it's one of the biggest shames that not too many people have seen it.
Ma'am, the poor big boss man. You know, God rest his soul, but. He got the crap angles. There was the watch thing. There was the cemetery, and Al Snow's dog.
He made Al Snow eat his dog, dude. That was fucked up.
The horrid dog kennel from hell match. Oh, poor boss man.
He'd like good angles like Kane got.
Mm. Speaking of, there was
Kane before Kane.
There was a kind of a bad vehicle match on at the pay-per-view this last weekend. Did you guys see it?
Oh, yeah, the ambulance match.
Yeah, the ambulance match.
I'm so glad this is over with.
I hope it's over.
I hope they don't involve all that shit with, like, Eve and stuff with The Rock and Cena the next 5 weeks. I'll be so pissed off.
I was half thinking she was going to come out wearing a mask of her own and be with Kane, some little hot, slutty dominatrix, red and black thing. But, oh well, maybe next time. But, yeah, the match itself wasn't too horrible, but it was, you know, kind of comical, you know, because, like, the ambulance at one point drove away. And Cena's like, no, whoa, hey, bring that back. I got to shove this fella in there. And we were discussing, you know, okay, does he just have to shove him in the back and shut the doors? Or does Cena have to actually get in the driver's seat and take off? Or, you know. But the match itself wasn't too bad. I had a actually pretty good crew of guys over to watch the show. I was shocked because I didn't think anybody cared about Elimination Chamber.
Did you make Brian pitch in?
I'm sorry?
Did you make Brian pitch in?
No, I didn't make Brian pitch in because we kind of have an agreement now. So.
What was it like in your living room when Santino was in at the end there?
Whitney was marking out right alongside my 5-year-old son. So make of that what you will. It was fun. I mean, we all got into it, and there was a lot of giggling and
who was right and who was wrong about which Elimination Chamber was going to be the best one?
I have to say that, in fact, you were right. I when they put on the Raw Chamber first, I said, well, obviously there's going to have to be some kind of title change in the SmackDown one, because I just assumed it would go on last. Silly me. Apparently Kane and John Cena was the main event of this show. Who would have thunk it? But, I'll give you props, man. That last 5 minutes of that chamber match were pretty darn fun.
When Big Show climbed into the pod, that was all
awesome. That was awesome. A lot of people buried that pay-per-view, but I didn't think it was all that bad, to be honest with you.
It wasn't like the chamber matches weren't on the level of some in the past, but they were still good.
No. I mean, 2 years ago, I went to one of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-views, and it was one where Edge actually ran in and won the darn thing. It wasn't bad.
And I got to watch the first 25 minutes before I had to leave to work. And luckily, before I did leave to work, I found out that I can actually watch illegal streams on my phone. So I didn't get to watch it at work, but I got to listen to the whole pay-per-view at work. And I got to say, even I marked out for the Cobra at the end, just listening to it.
That was pretty
phenomenal. The Divas match was pretty decent, too, on this show. Better than most matches.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so distracted by Tamina's outfit. That was not a flattering look for her. Poor girl.
But they said that was her since she got there. I mean, some of her first outfits also were, like, unflattering.
Yeah. And I got to hear Natalya fart, so good time.
Dude, that annoys me to no end.
It's too stupid to annoy me. I'm so dumb.
She's, like, one of the only girls. I know we're way off topic right now, but she's, like, one of the only girls in the WWE that can actually work. So they saddle her with that gimmick. That's just really upsetting to me.
Maybe the person that came up with that is just recently quit or got fired from TNA.
Or maybe they wanted to quit.
At least do it with somebody else that can't work.
Exactly.
Yeah, like they could do it with one of the Bellas. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, Bellas don't.
History is trying to figure out which Bella's farting. The Bellas can actually make a chick farting actually make it pretty goddamn sexy.
Yeah.
You know that girls
and
don't.
Two girls in a cup.
You know girls don't belch or fart or anything like that. They got a bitch, otherwise it'll explode.
Dude, I don't even want to tell you about this one story from Vegas regarding a girl party.
Please don't.
So,
because
let's change the subject before I get messed up.
Okay, here's one. This is one that was a big one that got cut off by something horrible. But when Vince was blown to smithereens.
Yeah. Now, see, that was a good explosion.
Yeah.
That whole thing was that was really compelling TV, the whole walk to the back.
Right.
You knew something, I remember, I can't think of right off the top of my head, but you knew something was going on going into that show. You know, something had leaked or something. You kind of knew something was up, what was going to happen on this show. And, you know, he does the walk out, and Paul London just ruined his career in fucking 2 seconds.
Oh, what a dumbass he was. You got all these other people just, like, got the serious face back there, and he's like, mugging for the camera, looking all goofy and shit. Dumbass.
Yeah, he was probably stoned, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It was really good. The walk towards the back, and you had all the wrestlers kind of mead-mugging him, you could tell something was going on, and Vince does that pause as he opens the door, and
Didn't he, like, actually even, like, I don't want to say pause, but kind of like semi-pause at Paul London?
I couldn't tell you yes or no, but it wouldn't surprise me if he...
I'm pretty sure it caught his eye when he walked by.
No, I think it was a few weeks later when he was doing the same walk out of the building when he got served with the fraternity papers. You know, guys were in the back. And then that's when he kind of looked at Paul London kind of weird. Don't act stupid, dumbass.
But yeah, that was awesome. Then he gets in the limo, and then of course the limo blows up.
That was one of the rare times. It doesn't happen very often, but every so often, news will actually make my local morning radio show. And and for whatever reason, I didn't actually watch the show live. I had it taped, and I was going to go back and watch it the next day. You know, I'm listening to my morning radio show on my headphones. You know, Vince McMahon got blowed up last night. Like, what the? You know? And knew it was coming, and, you know, got to watch it the next day. But that was actually something that the media actually took note of. And then...
I think Vince did that because he hates the media, so he knew that they would think he actually died, so they'd look stupid when they reported it, like he actually died.
And then the media coverage, you know, what, just a week or 2 weeks later, just exploded, no pun intended, with the whole Benoit thing.
Yeah, they had the Benoit thing happened, and then, of course, you couldn't go on after that with that angle.
No.
And it was even worse because they were doing it. The day that Benoit died, they had, like, a funeral set up on Raw for Vince. So they got this casket and flowers and stuff there, and they get the words that Benoit and found dead, and his wife and his kid, and which just got worse as the night went on. So,
that was a really weird weird day. You know, I think the news broke on Test called into the Bubba the Love Sponge show, and one of my guys that I worked with had Sirius satellite radio, and he comes over. And he's like, hey, man, Benoit's dead. I'm like, what? Because Brian and I had just probably, I would say, like 3 or 4 months before this. I'm breaking kayfabe here, but Brian and I had actually, I had been to dinner with some friends and Benoit and Shelton Benjamin to Jerry and, oddly enough, Tyson Tomko.
You're not breaking kayfabe. You told this story a couple of times. At least part of it.
I called Brian, and Brian, you know, had me hand the phone to Benoit. And so they had a really good relationship. Benoit called him all the time, and they were buddies. And I had just gotten to talk to him because they were in Tacoma. Just like maybe 6 months before that. And so I had actually got to talk to him and sat at a table across from them. And it was just really cool to, you know, kind of hang with those guys. And then, you know, a few months later, you know, the news is breaking. I call Brian, and Brian's like, no. And I actually found out before he did, probably just because
was he even home, dude? Because that's when we were in Vegas, dude. We were in fucking, I had that damn street phone on my head the night he was killing everybody.
I'm pretty sure he was at home. I'm pretty sure he was at home because he said, I'll call you back in a few minutes. And he got on the computer and found out that the whole thing went down. But, it was really weird. It was one of the few times that I've gotten information quicker than one Brian Alvarez, but this time it was because Test had actually broke the news on Bubba the Love Sponge.
I just remember I got home on Sunday, did the tape run or whatever, went to bed, woke up when Raw started. And that's how I found out at the beginning of fucking Raw. So.
Wow, you didn't even hear for hours beforehand.
Yeah, no, I was asleep, you know. I had to, you know, I was recovering from fucking all that partying and stuff, and it just was like, it's like, what the, it was like when Eddie died. Like, when Eddie died, I went to bed, you know, so I did the paper route, so I finished, and then we go to work early at UPS, so I crashed out, and my routine was I'd crash out, and I'd wake up at 7 or whatever the time was for Rest of the Reserve Alive. So I just, as soon as I wake up, I freaking pretty much called in. So that's what I did. I woke up, I called in, and at first the phone just kept ringing and no one would answer. I think I called like a couple times, but finally they picked up. And then like the first thing I hear is Dave saying that Eddie Guerrero died. I mean, it was like, what the hell, you know?
Mm.
It's just too bad situation.
Speaking of Eddie, and to get us back on topic, man, Eddie had some awesome cars. Every week he would, you know, be in a different city and some, you know, low riding club would loan him a car for the evening. Just recently saw one of the cars that he drove out on SmackDown, one of the live shows that I went to, just cruising around town because, you know, they basically get a car when they come into the town. And I remember that car. Because it was it was green with like metallic flake in it, and I saw it rolling around town. But Eddie had some awesome cars, and of course the truly tasteless part of this was that Orton tried to kill the Undertaker with Eddie Guerrero's lowrider just 1 week after we found out that Eddie had died. Nice job.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
I still can't believe they did that angle. I don't know.
I mean, just so soon after, you know, everything. I mean,
way too soon.
You know, like I always defended the Vicky thing, but there were a few things that there's no way you could defend. You know, a few of the decisions they made regarding that.
They had Ray against Big Show on like a live SmackDown or something, and it was like a Eddie Guerrero tribute match, and every time he's down, he's looking up in the sky screaming, Eddie, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah, that would be from
that. They had some really horrible things with that whole Eddie death.
Eddie's in hell thing with Orton.
Yeah. There was a lot
that was
of it.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't one of their brightest periods.
Definitely. He had some sweet cars, though, man. I'll tell you what, that they brought out each and every week.
Why people want their cars to bounce up and down like that? It looks stupid.
it's kind of silly, and I'm sure it's really
and
hard on the chassis.
It's that cheap either to make those things.
Right. Right. It's really expensive.
Why don't you say, please pull me over? I'm obviously got some sleep on here.
All right, pull me over. I have drugs and guns in my car.
You know, I can't throw stones because when I was in just out of high school, I went out and bought one of the little mini trucks, and I had the thing for 3 weeks, and I lowered the thing on the ground and had a big, huge stereo system in it.
Craig, come on. You just opened the door and sat in it and lowered it to the ground.
Oh, Ed, you're so funny. Didn't you just cut your mullet? Anyway, I had neon underneath it. It was a black Mitsubishi extended cab lowrider. I had purple neon underneath the seats. I had two 15-inch Rockford Fosgate subwoofers in there powered by a Fosgate Punch 150 amp. Black tinted windows, black leather that my mom still is upset with me about because she didn't have to, but she upholstered them for me. And I was in a lowrider club for about a year. And then I grew out of that really soon after that. So.
Oh, that's the giveaway.
It was called, the club was called Lowered Motion out of Puyallup, Washington.
Bunch of white people in fucking Puyallup, whatever the fuck, Washington, having a little ride. Bunch of wannabe ass.
Why did you quit? Why did you quit? You didn't want to take the ass whipping to get initiated or something?
No, it wasn't like that.
Okay.
I was the, how do I say it? I was the weird guy in the club. Like, they would all listen to, you know, like Sir Mix-a-Lot and things like that. And I was, I thought the coolest thing was Metallica's One with a double bass at the end of that really rocked. So I'd be listening to the Chili Peppers and Metallica
So basically,
you know,
they kicked you out for being a weirdo.
Yes, I was the odd one of the bunch. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's not hard to picture. But we'll go ahead and jump back on topic. Katrina, you want to pick one?
Well, this is another. This isn't actually even an angle, but just Magnum T.A.'s car crash and that picture of Magnum's Porsche. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. It looked like a giant
tinfoil or something.
If a giant would have reached down and grabbed the car and like tried to wring it out, it kind of looked like that. It was mangled.
I had no idea how you survived that. That was
and basically it was. I haven't really seen too many Porsches lately, but he had the classic style 80s Porsche, you know, with the what do you call it, the fin or the thing in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that classic, you know, when you think of Porsche, you think of that, you know, the way that car looked.
Very, very small car.
Yeah, it was, and I don't know how the hell you had Dusty Rhodes in there, you know, right before.
Too horny, man.
Seriously, how the hell do you have to, I mean, you know? And then, I mean, had he had Dusty, the accident probably wouldn't have happened because he probably wouldn't have fucking went off, you know, he wouldn't have gone airborne.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a...
Or would have killed the business in one fell swoop. Would have killed the company in one fell swoop.
Dusty would have passed away in that. Oof, man.
That would have changed my things, guys.
Dave Meltzer and them would have been happy because there would be no more Dusty finishes.
True.
Right?
And we wouldn't have...
No,
it would have
been Dusty finishes. He would have came back, you know, a week later, dude, somehow.
he did have a little extra padding. He might have walked away scot-free. Well, he did, so what are you going to do?
If we're going to talk about wrestling tragedies, like real ones like that, I mean... Of course, you got to add in the Kerry Von Erich one, which Hurricane's lucky. You know, he got off lucky compared to Kerry. You know, You know, he just has to worry about his foot getting swollen on a plane. Kerry, you know, pretty much lost his. Or basically, what happened was, or basically, what the whole story is, you know, Kerry had, you know, was the king of the town, and he was driving around on a motorcycle. And
no shoes on.
I think he was even barefoot, maybe.
Yeah.
And was just all fucked up and started being chased and was just, you know, driving around like crazy. And they set up a roadblock, and he fucking hits a roadblock head on and pretty much, you know, fucked up his foot real bad. They had to basically fuse it and, you know, and set it.
Yeah.
And then somehow he ended up getting up to walk around like a few weeks later and just put too much weight on it and just fucked it up to where they had to cut it off. And that's another incident that, you know, changed wrestling, you know, considerably.
Well, then there was Brian Pillman. I mean, if he hadn't had that last auto wreck, then, you know, I think he would still be around. That last one.
Well,
not even
that one. I mean, okay, you know, I mean, that's because that fucked them up big time, and yeah, you know, that's probably when he really got hooked on painkillers. But also Eddie Guerrero, you know, Eddie almost killed himself. He's taking that. What's that stuff called? I always want to say
HGH.
HGH.
Yeah, human growth hormone.
GHB.
Yeah.
Oh,
what is it again?
GHB, that's the drug you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took that, you know, he decided to take out driving while he was on that, and he admits that he took, like, you know, three times more than what it was that would have fucked you up. Basically, it was a drug that puts you to sleep, but the high was you would take it and you would fight to stay awake, and that's when you would get high. So he took a bunch of that, took off to go get the store, and the next thing you know, he's got parts of his car in the trees.
Well, in the case of, like, Kerry Von Erich, I mean, those guys, they're goofy as hell in the first place.
Right.
And they're always hopped up on something. Plus, you're on a daggum motorcycle, which, I don't know, two wheels, I ain't with that. I ain't getting on no fucking motorcycle.
True story, I've never been on a motorcycle all my life.
I've never been on one and never planned to.
Yeah. I've been on a bunch. I've been like a little tiny mini one, but my brother used to race dirt bikes, and then he used to race street bikes. In fact, my brother was like the rider of the year a few times in his little circuit. And they would make. I went to like I didn't go to a lot of races when he was doing the street bike, but I went to like one. And we didn't have like a lot of money, you know. My brother's bike was basically Jimmy rigged from fucking tire to tire. So before the races start, you line up all the motorcycles, and all the guys get to go and check out all the motorcycles. You got all these badass, brand new Interceptors, ninjas, just all these badass bikes. You got my brother's shitty little bike, got an orange juice container for something, and it didn't even have a battery on the bike. It had a plug. They plugged in the battery before the race. So you got like fucking 20 dudes just surrounding my brother's shitty bike, and you got all these bad ones. Those of you are looking at them, and everyone's just like pointing, like, "What the fuck?" And then my brother was like by far the best rider, but the bike would always break down or a lot, so he would always either be first or second or whatever. But I'll never forget fucking they used to. They changed the rules because of my brother, because he would do the endurance races, and he would do the 6 or 8 hours. He'd do it by himself. So after like a year or two, they had to make a rule where you couldn't do more than 4 hours straight. So my brother would have to get like one of the local guys, run 4 hours, have the guy get on, do about 5 laps, pull back in, my brother get back on and take off and shit. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty good, but you know, like I say, we didn't have the money to compete like a lot of those you know, guys that are
famous. Closest I'll get to being on a motorcycle and play a game of Excitebike on Nintendo.
And then, like, you know how like a lot of people they wreck and they'll never get on a motorcycle again. My brother wrecked 3 fucking times in one race. One of the times, landed face first to where. His helmet shield went up, and he has scratches on his glasses. That's how close his face came to the concrete. Not only did he get back on and get back in the race, he came in second.
Oh,
so, yeah, my brother's a little fucked in the head.
Runs in the family. Getting back to our topic, how about the match between Rock and, well, it's actually involved a vehicle, not really a car, but the match between Rock and Mankind, it was on the halftime of the Super Bowl.
The empty arena
Rock,
match.
Yeah, the empty arena match, and Rock was pinned with a forklift.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And
that whole match was awesome because then, like, you could really hear the Rock, and the Rock really made it a point. He was talking shit the whole fucking match.
He was doing commentary.
I mean,
and the one cheesy part was the one where they're actually lowering the forks. Mankind's actually lowering the forks down onto Rock, and they got a close up on his goofy face with his eyes bugged out, and the forks coming down on top of Rock and the pallet. And Rock was pinned with the help of
that's one of my favorite like matches of that era. I mean that shit was awesome, dude. That the Rock and Mankind just had chemistry, whether they were teaming or fighting or whatever, dude. They were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can't remember if it was Raw or SmackDown, but I was at one of the shows in the Tacoma Dome. And Rock gave Mankind the Rock Bottom onto the hood of a, I think it was a Caddy. And it was, man, it was brutal. Just destroyed him.
Yeah, that's why he can't put on his tennis shoes today. I noticed we've had a caller on the line here for a few minutes. Let me go ahead and put him on here. Caller calling from Skype or computer line. Who's this?
Hey, this is Matt Claire. How you doing?
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Oh, not much. True story, I've never been on a motorcycle either.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, but I was actually going to talk about the Stone Cold and his various four-wheeler shenanigans. I started watching various YouTube videos once I saw the topic you guys were talking about, Steve Freeman, and there's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, Stone Cold, he took advantage of a lot of different stuff. I mean, he had monster trucks, you know, regular big badass trucks. Fucking, I'll never forget the Zamboni. The Zamboni is one of the best things ever because, you know, they didn't tell, you could tell he didn't take a test drive.
Right.
You know, he, that was the first time doing it, ran over that light, whatever it was, and then drug it the rest of the way down. I mean,
he just rammed back into the ring. See the ring move?
Yeah.
Where he hit it.
Pretty sure he wasn't alive.
And he just does a flying clothesline over the cops on the vents, and I mean, the place went fucking nuts.
That was tremendous.
Yeah, I was actually watching a video that I didn't remember, which was when he was originally in the ring. Vince was up at the aisle giving him some crap, and then Austin chases after him in the four wheeler, chases him through the backstage area, and then proceeds to Vince jumps for his life up at the loading dock, gets into his limo for safety, and Stone Cold proceeds to drive up on top of the limo in the four-wheel. That's really good stuff. We haven't seen that in a while.
Well, wasn't it the Mania in Houston? He came with the four-wheeler down the ramp?
Hall of Fame? Yeah, the Hall of Fame thing.
That was good stuff.
That was tremendous.
Yeah, I knew that coming because when they introduced him, you could see, like, behind this curtain, you could see these two headlights. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Austin's ATV he's fixing to bring out here in just a minute. So that's what it was. They got the biggest reaction of the night, I think.
He drove that thing pretty fast and taking the turns and everything.
Yeah, that was a huge reaction in that building, as I remember. It was, there wasn't anything really spectacular on that show. And Stone Cold brought the house down.
Shawn Undertaker, what the hell are you talking about?
You know what I mean. Before that.
Yeah, but us rednecks, we like us some ATVs, so come on now.
I can't tell you how many ATV wrecks I've been in as a child. God. Three-wheelers, four-wheelers. That's because when you get kids riding on them, they do stupid shit. They want to...
And when we were kids, we were tough. We did it without helmets or fucking elbow pads, knee pads. Now kids, you know, they get on a tricycle and they got full body armor and stuff.
That's true.
I was on one when the brakes went out on me one time and I got clotheslined by an electric fence. It was no fun.
Was it on? Was the electric fence on?
Nope.
Okay, thank God. Goodness.
No, I mean, as a father today, I mean, yeah, I wrap my son in cotton wool, but back in the day, you know, we were made out of, you know, rubber and magic. We could bounce off of anything, but not so much.
I also remember him when he, because, like, so I guess, Vince have this really giant Corvette collection, and I just remember the one time he had the convertible Stingray, and Austin filled it full of cement, and the windows, like, blew out from the weight of the cement.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think they still got that tight towers. They take it to, like,
that was at the WrestleMania 17 that was the first Mania I went to. They had that at whatever. I don't know if they called it Access back then, but it was, like, the first one of those things they did, and there it was. And that was actually the first YouTube thing that I watched this evening. And it's so funny listening to them trying to cover up the fact that they really old Corvette that they didn't mind trashing, like calling it a classic.
Right.
And so, yeah, but he shows up, and it must have been right after the hospital deal, because he shows up and they bring him a wheelchair with a rubber pillow for him to sit on so that he's more comfortable, and they wheel him away, the Stooges, and then Austin tears the crap out of it with a cement.
I thought the pillow was for when Stone Cold violated him in the hospital.
In the hospital. Yeah.
Yes.
His ass was still sore.
Right. And there's a little segue where Sergeant Slaughter somehow manages to fall on Vince's leg, and him and the Stooges are just playing that up for all kinds of comedy. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got, guys. So I'll let you go and finish up with the show.
We'll see you in a few minutes, buddy.
Yeah, what is it, Matt, 5 weeks?
Yeah, 5 weeks, and then I'm going to come home for a couple weeks, and I'm going to turn around and come see you.
Yeah, don't mention that to Ed. You'll talk about coming over.
Well,
I might just do it anyway, because you bastard didn't bother to get me a ticket, you know. I would have liked to see Eddie Vedder, you know. No one invited me.
I won't tell you that I'm going to 2 shows now. So
shut up. Shut up, Greg.
No. Okay, babe.
Well, because I'm telling you, you're no longer invited to my house. I don't want to even see you.
Yeah, I'm catching enough heat for my wife.
And if you tell me, Dallas, I'm going to be twice as pissed for you going to that shitty city.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Later.
Buddy.
Enjoy the show, guys. Bye.
That's Matt Cleary. That's my buddy right there. He came up and we went and saw Pearl Jam a few months ago, September.
Greg's only fan.
And I'm going to go down there and catch a couple of Eddie Vedder shows with my buddy Matt. So.
Where's the second one at, Greg?
Well, no, they're both in Houston, back-to-back, 2 nights in a row. Yep.
Oh, and so this is a new occurrence, and I still didn't get a ticket. God damn.
I'm only allowed 2 tickets for each fan club show.
Guys.
Oh, my God. Go buy a ticket and come down then, Ab. Jeez.
Oh, I don't want
to.
I don't know what
I've ever seen in my life. You guys don't want people to give you shit.
I would have paid for my ticket if they would have offered to get it.
I'm only allowed to buy 2 fan club tickets. One for me, one for Matt. Matt's putting me up. It's not like I could just say, hey, Matt, why don't you put me up and I'll take another buddy of mine.
I would
have Let's get back on topic. Let me see here. Oh, you know what? I brought this up the other day, and when I was talking to Ed about the topic at hand, Medusa, to this day, still drives a monster truck.
Yeah. Apparently, did she
kind
of made a living after wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Does she still have those, I mean, she might have the biggest impact in the history of wrestling divas. She still got those puppies?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, she's got built-in airbags when she crashes or rolls the thing. Yeah. I haven't been to a monster truck show in forever, but I'm pretty darn sure she still drives a monster truck.
Speaking of monster truck.
Thank you.
We should... I don't know if you were segueing into this one, but...
I was hoping you would take it, and apparently you did. Go ahead.
Go to the Sumo Monster Truck match on top of the Cobo Hall with the Giant Hulk Hogan in 1995.
Right.
This was
Did I hear Dave the other day say that this was the Giants' first actual wrestling match or televised-like wrestling match?
I think it was one of the first matches. Well, the match they had in the arena. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Halloween.
And apparently Cobo Hall's by the sea, but not really.
I didn't even know that there was, like, water like that in Detroit, you know. So.
Well, you can't see the water because of the debris.
But the basically what happened was is that on top of Cobo Hall, they put 2 monster trucks. They put a Hulk Hogan monster truck and with fucking sideburns and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another monster truck, and I can't remember what it looked like, but it was, you know, second monster, the evil
the Dungeon of Doom monster truck.
Yeah, the Dungeon of Doom monster truck driven by the Giant. So basically you had these guys going in like a push, I don't want to say tug of war, more like a pushing match between the two cars.
What they did was they took the front bumpers or something, and they welded the monster trucks together, like both in the front, and the key was that you had to like push it far out of a circle on top of the Cobo Hall, and there were several charges set up, explosions. Right. Like, I guess, I don't know, you're going to get blown up or something. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm about the last place I'd want to have a sumo match in a building I could fall off of.
Uh-huh.
No, that's, I don't know.
And we all know the results. Somebody
yeah,
did fall
but
off.
But there was water, dude. It would have been safe if the car would have water and seaweed.
They work their way over. They get out. Hogan wins, but then the Giant goes after him, and they're fighting, and they're working their way over to the side of the roof. And, of course, they both step up on top right there, and then Hogan just kind of pulls back, and the Giant loses his balance, and he pops off, and Hogan says, "Help, help, somebody help."
Yeah.
I know, the look on Hogan's face is like, oh, my God, he died.
I mean, this is like one of those, I mean, you know, people were reporting on this, this is like the worst shit they've ever seen. I thought this was awesome. This was funny as hell.
Speaking
know,
of the Dungeon
I was
of
laughing,
Doom.
I was like, how are they going to explain this? He fell off a building, he should be dead. And then he comes out covered in seaweed.
Yeah,
he should have had like some. He should have been pulling fish out of his trunks or something, you know, after he got out of the water.
And he was still soaking wet like 2 hours later.
Speaking of the Dungeon of Doom, one of our local indie companies around here is running a show at this place called the B&I. The B&I. When I was a little kid, you could go into the shopping center, and they had monkeys, and they had a gorilla named Ivan. They had a carousel, and it was kind of a sportsman's shop slash, you know, circus-type theme place. Well, anyway, fast forward, you know, 15, 20 years, the place is run down, and it's basically a big swap meet, if you will. You can go in there and, you know, buy off-brand jeans and you know, you can trade in your gold and get RC cars and things like this. But anyway, this local indie company, when I was working for them, we used to do shows at the B&I, and they would be in the parking lot. And they're doing one of these parking lot shows at the B&I. And one Kevin Sullivan is in the main event against the fellow that booked Brian and I on our very first match, Dave DiBasci. Apparently Kevin Sullivan has relocated to Seattle, Washington.
Is he, or is he just getting paid to do a show there?
No, he lives in Seattle now.
I thought he lived in Florida.
No, I found him on... well, oddly enough, I found him on Facebook, and apparently he lives in Seattle now.
We need to try to get him on the show.
I would love to get him on the show.
Yeah.
But he would also be frightened to death.
I'm in the middle. I'm watching some of this stuff from 88 from the NWA, and I'm watching this stuff with him and Jimmy Garvin and Precious. And kidnapped Precious and all that stuff, the Tower of Doom. I love that shit.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. Maybe I'll even stroll down to the B&I and pick up a pair of, off-brand Nike sneakers and talk to Kevin
Sullivan. You ought to go to that show. If I was close there, I'd go if I knew Kevin Sullivan was going to be there.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. Anyway.
Just to stay on Kevin Sullivan, when I started watching wrestling, it was when he was in Georgia, and... that don't know Kevin Sullivan, he had two different bodies.
Yep.
He had his normal flabby, this normal dude-looking body, and
right.
Then he had his body where he had zero body fat. And
super ripped.
If you would have seen Kevin Sullivan in Dungeon of Doom, you'd have no idea that at one time he was the most ripped dude in wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly dated the hottest woman in wrestling. Married to her.
Yeah, for a while. She was a fallen angel.
Yeah, when she was a fallen angel, that was, saw her in the After Mags along with Kevin Sullivan. I was like, whoa, who is this? And can I see more of her?
Yeah. Basically, some of the stuff they had her in, because they were doing the devil worshiping thing back then, and Mm-hmm. No, it's pretty sexy.
Yeah, it was.
That was the creepiest thing you've ever said, Couture.
Well, I'm sorry she was.
Yeah, I know. It's just
I do that. I go to these porn sites and type of goth into the search engine and try to see some goth porn. I ain't gonna lie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Or emo.
Moving on. Okay.
Yeah. moving on, we do have to talk about this one because this is like the longest running storyline. The fact they came back 4 or 5 times, and that'll be the infamous Homer angle. And I'll give a good sure recap to Homer angle.
Yeah.
When did this start? This started in 1999, and I think in the summer, WCW. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Kevin Nash was in the limo, and somebody drove a Hummer into the limo. I don't know. We found out who did it. Then later
we just did find out who was supposed to be the one driving the Hummer.
Well, we did find out. There was disc golf.
Well, Dave just talked about this a few weeks ago. The original person they wanted to have driving the Hummer was Carmen Electra.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know why, but...
I think Dennis Rodman was going to be involved.
Right. Dennis Rodman and Jay Leno and Carmen Electra, I guess. I don't know.
And then they started doing...
Oh, yeah.
They started doing silly shit because they were later on they were doing something where... I think Lex Luger was trying to convince Sting that Hogan was the one driving the Hummer. So he showed him a picture of Hogan standing next to a Hummer, knowing Hogan probably had like 2 Hummers, and everybody had Hummers back then, so not like a coincidence. Yeah,
sure.
And then I think in the end it came down when they did the Millionaires Club on that first night. It was Hogan was leaving the arena in the limo, and then the Hummer hits the limo, and Bischoff gets out of the Hummer, and he said, "We should have known it all along." He said, "But Bischoff was like fired during most of that stuff." So I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but it was like that was kind of like, in a way, that was like their two-shot JR angle because it's the one thing people remember from WCW at the time is that fucking Hummer angle.
How could WWF have never done a who-shot JR angle?
Well, they tried to, but, you know, Benoit ended up killing his family.
Who shot Jim Ross? You know, JR. They could have had a good little play on words right there.
right, touché. That's it. The next time they're in Oklahoma, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Who shot JR?
Yeah. You know, we touched on Stone Cold and the Zamboni. We also talked about his ATVs, but we never talked about him driving the beer truck too much. And the subsequent angle that followed that with Kurt Angle driving the milk truck.
Yeah.
I don't know which angle is better because the Stone Cold was, you know, it's so awesome, you know, he's, you know, fucking spraying Vince and whoever with the beer, and then he almost commits suicide when he decides to drink out of this fucking hole, the only full blast, shooting beer out, and almost chokes and burns himself.
I'm glad I wasn't, like, in the front row.
Yeah. It's like a Gallagher concert.
Oh. If somebody would have got pulled over after the show.
Oh, jeez. I'm sure it was a real beer,
ad. I'm sure it was real beer.
Oh, come on.
They did it at the start of the show, so they had to, like, change the ring mats and stuff like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, he had that thing just blasting, the Rock's bumping crazy, and Vince's bumping crazy for the beer, and
swimming in it.
Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah, and then the next one is fucking awesome because everyone says it was a mistake and it was probably not the best thing for business, but I think the heel Stone Cold is fucking so awesome, and they're doing this game where they have the Alliance in the ring and Stone Cold's in there and. I'm not sure if RVD was late on this one, but I know Taz is the only one wearing like his own shirt. Everyone had like the Alliance attached. So he's starts ground beating Taz, and then they start singing the wind beneath the, my ring, the Stone Cold. It was like Steel Stephanie, and you got like fucking he got just incredible singing his ass off. And Tommy Jr., you know, everyone's just all into it. I mean, it's just fucking awesome. And Stone Cold just all like so touched.
Yeah.
And everything. And then Kurt Angle comes out in the little milk truck.
Yeah.
And he pulls out the hose and starts spraying milk. And then he was smart enough. He didn't try drinking out of the hose. He just grabbed a couple cartons and started chugging up on the roof of the thing, which I'm surprised he still didn't throw up.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Jim Ross said the Billion Dollar Princess has now turned into the Dairy Queen. I remember when Stone Cold came back and he brought the beer truck back when he did that thing with Santino and Maria.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When Santino took the greatest stunner of all time when he's saluting on the way down. He took that stunner and then he's just like a big military salute going down. Oh, it was awesome.
Off the bump. It was he's tremendous.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The great thing about the Kurt Angle one is, you know, he was the straight-laced guy, and Stone Cold was the beer-drinking, hell-raising, you know, and he was the meek and quiet Kurt Angle, and then you see him driving down there in the milk truck, and you're just like, oh, my God, where is this going? And it was just, you know, he wouldn't drink beer. You know, because he's the straight-laced, you know, possible virgin. I think they even touched on that at one time. And, you know, and then he pulls out a milk and spray in the ring with it. It's just the comedy just writes itself. It's just so,
you know,
so great.
Everyone hates the fact that Austin and Angle were doing that comedy. It's like that they were the greatest comedy act ever. I mean, the shit they did, you know. God, they were awesome together.
One
of the funniest things that Kurt Angle ever did was, I think whoever wrote this got in trouble. I think he was facing like Kane or somebody when he first came in, when they were calling Kane the Big Red Retard.
Hmm.
And Kurt Angle came down and said, "No, I take offense to that because I got a lot of retarded fans."
Yeah,
I think they got in the back and Vince that chewed out whoever wrote that.
You remember when he was like feuding with the Undertaker and he came out in the scooter and the helmet and the scarf?
Yeah,
that's right.
And they threw his scooter off the stage.
Didn't he like get a big victory and he was celebrating? He was drinking, he was catering, he was throwing all his food up in the air, celebrating his victory. And he turned around and there's Undertaker's bike like right behind him that he's just
all his
shit
covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at the one Tacoma Dome show where he was, you know, playing the little guitar and he had that tiny hat on. He had the tiny cowboy hat and him and Stone Cold.
Jimmy
like Fat
Corn and I Don't Care.
Oh, God. Just died. It's good stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was awesome stuff. And, we got to talk about one that was one of the... I think, to me, this is like either, like you said, the DX was the dumbest one. This is pretty close to it, but it actually started off so awesome because in this one interview before this incident, I actually went from hating Hulk Hogan to being a fan of Hulk Hogan because when Hulk Hogan came out and he cut that promo on The Rock and everything, that was one of the greatest Hulk Hogan promos of all time, and it was so awesome. And then they have the thing where they basically... run over the Rock with a semi truck.
Yeah, he was in an ambulance. The NWO had attacked him and they just had this awesome money segment to set up WrestleMania. And it was like the crowd was like dual chanting their names and stuff, and then NWO attacked him, which fine if they're gonna attack him, that's fine. But and then they put him in the ambulance and they padlocked the ambulance and then they hit the ambulance with a semi truck. See, that's when stuff gets stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah.
That interview was awesome. That was an awesome Hogan interview.
Another one, old one, was when back in '86. You remember when the Inland Express jumped Dusty Rhodes and Jim Cornette like jabbed his tennis racket into the abdomen of Baby Doll?
Oh yeah, she was pregnant and she had a miscarriage.
No, she wasn't pregnant, but they held her and he just like hit her in the stomach with it. You know, they're saying that she can't have kids now and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then they showed up. It was like, and then like it was the next week, Midnight Express showed up. And you remember the James Boys and the Mask? It was Magnum.
Yeah,
and
Dusty. They had a show here one time, and that's what the main event was the James Boys against the Midnight.
Yeah, and they came in as a TV tape, and they kidnapped Jim Cornette, and they took him backstage, and they had this old pickup truck that Baby Doll was in the driver's seat, and they tried to, they were going to drag him behind this truck.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both got in the back of the truck, and they had already tied him, but Bobby and Dennis finally, they got there just in time to get the rope off of him and save him.
Yeah,
he was dragging down the road.
Do you remember how they ended that angle? That was so awesome because, you know, basically what the James Boys was basically it was the Midnight Rider, but for a tag team. It was for Dusty and Magnum, and so they came back under mask as the James Boys, and they had their feud. And when their feud, pretty much, you know, they were just Cornette's constant. Constant saying that it's Dusty Rhodes, it's Magnum TA, you know, look at them, you know, it's them, and just going on and on and on. And then they have this TV match, and they actually, and I'm thinking that maybe the James Boys might even have won the match, but I just remember, like, the Midnight, you know, attacked them after and, like, took the mask off, and it was Sam Houston and Tom Zane.
Yeah.
And you kind of, when you kind of like were starting to think that, okay, maybe that's, thank the one James brother is a little skinnier than usual. But, you know, I thought that was Dusty Rhodes until that mask came off. I had no idea it was Tom Zane. He did a damn good job for that one match. He's making you think it was Dusty.
I actually got one that's not on our list here, that Couture.
Hold on, let me get the plug real quick. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always check out and download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and basically a show pretty much almost every night. So everyone, check out angrymarks.com.
Probably. We set it up for an hour and a half or 2 hours again, Couture?
I just set it for an hour and a half today.
Okay, so this might be the last one. DX invading Monday Nitro. They have commandeered a Jeep with a cannon on it. And it was just amazing to see them rolling around with the megaphone, and they're all in camo gear and actually rolled up to the bay doors of the arena. And it's pretty good comedy for the whole episode of Monday Night Raw.
They had some funny ass little just banter between them when this was going on. Like, I'll never forget Billy Gunn saying, "Man, we could go to Costco and get a box of chili cheese corn dogs."
I remember Billy Gunn wondering where Hunter in China was, and then Road Dogg just gets fed up with his wine and said, "I don't know where they are, Rockabilly. You go find them."
At one point, like X-Pac is like sitting on the cannon and, you know, talking about how this could go off at any minute, like a huge phallus. Just good comedy, man. There was.
I remember Billy Gunn has a cannon like between his legs, and Triple H says Eddie, and the cannon just goes down. Barrel of the cannon just goes down to the ground, and he says Eddie.
The comedy was, you know, they're outside while all these fans, WCW fans, are waiting to get into Monday Nitro. And they're marking the hell out for DX.
And pay them.
I remember they asked one guy, "Cause where'd you get your tickets?" He was, "Or how much you pay for your tickets?" He was, "I got them for free."
There was a lot of them that got them for free, as I remember.
Remember they showed up like the WCW offices, which was like 30 miles outside of Atlanta, and like this shitty little office building.
Yeah.
And,
It was really, really looked kind of shitty for what it was, you know, for being a big operation they were.
Right. Oh, that's good stuff right there.
Well, one last one we got to talk about, and it turned out to be kind of a disappointment of who it actually was when Austin was hurt, and they had to let him out of the storyline, and they did him getting hit by a car. And all you knew is that it was somebody blonde, and in the end it ended up being Rikishi, and I don't even know why it was Rikishi.
Because they didn't have anybody else, I think.
Because he did it for The Rock, and The Rock's his relative.
Oh, that's right, that's right. No, it comes back to me.
He's tired of the Island Boys being mistreated. So he,
see how forgettable that angle was,
I don't even think Rikishi was in the company when Austin got hit. I think he showed up like a month or two later. I'm not that sure he had blonde hair at that point either.
Right.
I don't know.
Who knows? And then I remember Rikishi falling off the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fell into like a fucking
in the wood chip
hay or something.
It looked like the shit at school when somebody throws up and the janitor puts it on the floor on the ground over the vomit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. The super absorbent sawdust.
Speaking of which, what are y'all thinking about? I'm really pumped for WrestleMania now after this Monday in the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
going
to be
really
badass.
Stoked.
I'm so glad I'm going. Too bad I got to sit next to Craig and Matt Clary.
How dare you. I'm actually going to SmackDown this Tuesday. It's going to be in Tacoma. Or, excuse me, Seattle. Gosh, I don't even know where I'm going. But
what is Tacoma?
Pardon?
Never mind.
Anyway, so... going to go check that out this weekend. This Tuesday, I'm sitting three rows back, and my son is so excited.
Cool.
Yep, very cool.
I'm looking forward to
Monday
with the Rock.
He might want to become a vegan after that show, though.
No, he likes hamburgers. And who could blame him?
I like hamburgers.
Okay.
But any last things that pop in your head, Craig, before we go?
No, I think I'm going to go take a nap. I'm tired and kind of high.
Yeah, you know, don't be so unprofessional next week and do the show high, Craig. It's just wrong.
You do the same.
Hey, Contreras, anything popping into your head?
This Sunday night at 10:30 in Sitting Bad are doing another episode of Pro Wrestling Flashback. We're going to do a shoot Battle Bowl drawing with the roster from 1991, and we're going to pick names and really draw names out of a hat or something like that and see what kind of teams we come up with. We're going to book the show.
Didn't you just do that the other day?
Nuh-uh.
Didn't you just do a show yesterday or the day before?
We did it yesterday, but we didn't do the we did a show in the last second. Just on at the last second last night, and but we didn't get a chance to do the Battle Bowl thing. We were talking about the Rhodes family and and Craig's number one fan Sky Kid called in.
Oh, now speaking of the Rhodes family, I saw on Facebook Sinbad being an asshole and being a jerk and then having to kiss ass to make up for it. Terry Reynolds posted like a Whitney Houston video.
Oh.
So, you know, people were all, oh, Whitney, you know, all that bullshit. And then, of course, Sinbad has a plug-in about, you know, I think Terry had made a comment about like Whitney's a kid or something. And I think maybe Sinbad thought she was talking about Bobby Brown, so he makes like a crack or some kind of fucked up comment. So, of course, all the other Facebook friends are all up in an uproar about it, and then Sinbad's trying to defend it, and then Terry says something, so of course, oh, Terry, I'm so sorry I offended you. I'm so sorry, Terry.
Oh, jeez.
Bad little man. But anyway, I guess I really
don't want to offend her, then she won't give you one of those blowjobs where she gigs herself.
Ew.
And she's still smoking hot. I'll give her that.
She's a hot mouse.
Little Dakota's growing up too. But anyway, I guess we'll go ahead and end the show on that note. So everybody, come back next week. I'm sure we'll have something ready to go, and maybe by some miracle we'll even have an interview. I doubt it.
I'll see what I can do.
Everybody, come back next week. Hey, Katrina, what if you have the new song with this? And of course, you dropped off the line, asshole. All right.
Just play the old
anyway.
Theme.
Yeah, so.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick! Let's go hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out today. The game is off the play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.